Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we got a great one for you today. The main message we're going to be talking about, like we do on every podcast, is you, the people, the Art of Construction Master Facilitators that make this thing happen. And what we're going to be talking about around construction technology is how do you take that ball and run with it in construction? But of all of our previews, it's been more importantly, how do you pass that ball to the right Master Facilitators in the Art of Construction? So what we're going to be talking about, how do we figure out every day, how do we eat this elephant one bite at a time, trying to figure out structure out of chaos. And we've been talking about on a bunch of podcasts, it's not the software, it's you, it's the people making this happen. And how does this benefit you is that we all know we need to figure out different data management and construction management end-to-end tools. Well, end-to-end, we never want this thing to end in construction, even though you're only as good as your last project. How are we going to figure out how to be leading these construction forwards in a continuum of care, customer care will, and we're going to talk a little bit about that journey that one of my mentors that's been in the Art of Construction for a long time, way before we had this crafted and mastered. Yeah, right. We're never going to have this mastered. We are all lifelong learners working together. And that's my buddy, Matt McMullen, who's been a co-host on many episodes. It's an honor to have you here, Matt. And we're going to reference a few podcasts that you and I have been talking in and out of today's recording of different master facilitators working together on different open source tools to figure out how these different people and how we have people that may have been, quote unquote, not as productive in society to figure this all out. And so I think about recent show 377, Your Project Simplified. We're going to be building on that of saying it's not about the software. It's always about the customers, the people and the process around that with their seven pillars of success. Or AI is the shiny object, but we keep talking about like show 376, the AI revolution in construction. It's knowing your data and understanding these lifelong learners like Paul Wirth, who was employee number one at BuilderTrend to now just launching Assembly.ai, or the really challenging things within construction like the schedule. As we always say, you're only as good as your last project, but how do you build a schedule for the future of construction? AOC show 375, democratizing your schedule with Planera of Ninton, talking about building different tech platforms to then jumping into construction. And it's fascinating to hear how challenging it is to build the full scheduling tool in construction, but then understanding how that whole ERP comes together, and most importantly, the people and understanding how they all tick. And that makes me think of show 366, Neuroinclusive Construction in the Rockies. And then this is really the cool diverge and converge of all of the lessons learned. I'm going to start dating us, Matt. October 11th, 2017, AOC episode 83, Eliminating the Muda from Your Construction Project Process. And going all the way fast tracking to 377, I just kept saying the customer care wheel and illuminating the Muda. And I challenge you to go listen to the talking tracks when Scott Averett talked through how to eliminate the Muda of putting his words and my words through mentors of guidance like Matt McMullen all the way show 83, which was the first one. And every time we do one of these, Matt, I always think about how many episodes you've been on, I've been on, as we close into 400 of these moments in time. And so my perspective is that we got to figure out how to reach these channels that you're quote unquote not used to or not typical in construction, because we're at such a cool paradigm shift of what is the future of construction. Matt, what an honor to have you. What's your perspectives for today?
Well, one is just show 83, we were both like 15. So that was it was a while ago, but you know, we've matured and grown since then. And thanks for for inviting me to be on your show. Be your Robin, be the Robin to your Batman. Yeah, you know, it's the thing that always interests me is what are people's personal motivations and causes when they start their businesses? And so for me, it's been, you know, really about inclusive design and inclusive communities. And we started talking to Adam, and a deep love and respect for veterans as a fellow veteran. You know, he served in the Army. And so I want to really talk about that and what drives his platform to support veterans that have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And then taking that and say, how does he move from the veteran platform into the greater population, the greater community of the build community? And so we're going to dive into a little bit of all of that. And we're going to also talk about a little bit about veterans and intellectual developmental disability, because there's some crossover between those two communities.
Yeah, and it makes me think about the whole IDD, which I didn't even know what that stood for until you said, Devin, you got to come to this conference. And it was really much more of a summit of sitting around the table of the people that have the people that have the needs and the people supporting those needs in those different circles. And we're really trying to broaden that circle. And that's what really hit me when you made the introduction to Adam, that I am the one that has to be Debbie Downer at the beginning, because there's so much getting flooded and people reaching out about, help me sell my construction technology. And I professionally say no to all those people unless they actually have a cool story and they're actually trying to solve a problem in construction. And I'm super excited to hear Adam's story of how we got here today. So Matt, what do you say? We dive in and get to know Adam and have as much fun as possible?
Like Larry the Cable Guy said, let's get her done.
All right, lock and load. What's your favorite beverage, Adam?
So, you know, it is coffee, but we had a conversation that I had to give an alcoholic beverage, which I'm happy to do, but I just had to make that clear, right? So I'm curious if anybody listening is going to know this. It's called Arak, A-R-A-K.
Nope. Not me. What is it?
Some people are more familiar with ouzo, which is Greek. Mm-hmm. So arak is that, it's really the same or similar alcohol, but from Middle Eastern roots. So it's like anise based liquor. So it's like a Middle Eastern vodka per se. That is by far, without question, my favorite alcoholic beverage.
Awesome. So when you wake up the next morning, you're like, I got hit by a rock. That's what that means.
Yeah, that is exactly why.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Yeah, so, you know, I actually really enjoy traveling somewhere new every time. So I try to make a point of seeing new places. That said, I'll have to throw, this answer to Bali, because that's where I got engaged with my now wife. So I'll put that one there.
Cool. Well, tell us what your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos that you passionately break down with your construction technology platform within the Art of Construction.
Yeah, so I'll give a two-part answer there. One is my podcast. That's certainly a hobby and interest of mine, and that's why I do it. And then the second piece there is just generally speaking wellness. It's a critical part of every day of mine.
Awesome. Well, we're honored to have Adam Stark here. What is your story that led you to being the principal of Jet Build and the host of the Veterans That Build show?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, first of all. And you guys have a great introduction. I enjoyed that very much. So, you know, my background, I started my civilian career working for builders in New York City. We're doing high-rise mixed-use properties all across the Northeast and also a few overseas as well. And really in that experience, I kind of recognized the gap that existed in the market. And I like to call it the long tail of the market. So what I mean by that is majority of builders are kind of overlooked as it relates to a solution that suits their needs and their price points. So there's lots of pointed solutions. There's lots of legacy incumbent solutions that are priced very high and built for enterprise type companies. So for everyone else, if you're a builder with 10 to 200 employees even, it seems like your interests are not being, addressed. And that's really what led to creating JetBuild, was being that type of builder, working for that type of builder, and not finding a solution that suited what we needed to build the projects that, I was managing. Yes, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the long tail, that's a book by Chris Anderson, why the future of business is selling less of more. And it's an important principle. And it's really what the internet was built on, was being able to serve these segmented markets. So brilliant strategy on your point.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. And segueing into, what we're doing at the Veterans Who Build show, I kind of reflected About 2 years ago now, I kind of reflected just on my own journey into the built environment post-military, and then into, you know, tech, which is, you know, is for built environment, so built environment large. And I realized a few things. One was listening to other veterans and their stories was absolutely critical for me and my journey in terms of understanding how veterans overcame the, or continue to overcome, the transition period, civilian to military. And then also recognizing, military to civilian life transition. And then also recognizing translatable skills, military to the built environment, and how translatable those skill sets are. And that kind of led to this aha moment in realizing, well, I love chatting with veterans, generally speaking. That's the core group of my friend group. Two is I realized how helpful that was for me to talk with other veterans, listen to other veterans. And then three, why not promote industry and provide a roadmap for veterans into industry, that being built environment, because it's a great industry, helps veterans, helps the industry, and hopefully that'll, you know, push some better marketing for, you know, what we do here, building everything that we're sitting in or, you know, listening from.
I love that. What a cool passion project that, if I heard you right, of leading into this was like, it's what you're relatable to them, and you're like, how do we get more people to do from military to the civilian life, and being within the art of construction and understanding how to bridge those gaps? And you just had a lot of informal conversations to kind of help you, and the light bulb went off and said, hey, help me help you with the veterans who build show. I'd love to hear, you know, just a couple highlights or takeaways of the shows you've done, how long you've been doing it, and just for people that may be listening to the Art of Construction to go check out your show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been about two years now. I've been on it. I always forget these timelines. Yeah. But we released episode 39 just the other day. We release every other week. And you know, a few goals of what I'm trying to do is, first and foremost, is honor life stories of veterans. So that's really important to me. And it's important to, you know, allow for veterans to share their story and hopefully for others to listen, generally speaking. So that's like first and foremost, the groundwork of its purpose, of the show's purpose. Now beyond that, it's kind of what I was alluding to before, is that in their life story, it is creating this roadmap, again, to hopefully help other veterans or hopefully shed some light into employers on why it's a good avenue to approach hiring veterans. And that is to highlight transition period, military to civilian life, and then those translatable skills, you know, military to built environment. So, you know, that's kind of how each show is framed. And you'll see there's a variety of different veterans, different people who will join us, from, you know, architects to general contractors to lenders to other technology companies in the space, ranging from, you know, CBs to infantry officers to three-star generals to Navy SEALs. So it's a very, really broad kind of background set, which I find really cool. So hopefully, you know, listeners can find someone they relate to or want to hear from.
Totally love that. Everybody that makes up the veteran community, not just the people that have shows shown to be the jockos and the big celebrity people. Those are people I love that whole thing, but it's hearing the whole veteran community within construction. Well, let's switch gears over to what you do that in and around the podcast, just like I'm in supply channel day to day, owning, operating window and door company. Is, you know, we're doing this big, big, deep dive informal. That's why I referenced several shows of all the way back of Matt and I, of eliminating the muda or the waste to try to figure out this, how to have the right customer engagements for this construction technology silver bullet. That all those podcasts, I've done hundreds and hundreds of these to say there really is no such thing, but that is the mass thing everyone's trying to figure out. How do they take your data, turn into AI, and automate the front end of construction so you have less risk and make more money on the back end? And so what I did, and we're going to go on this journey of anyone else, you know, thank you all the people that have been reaching out to me asking to say, hey, can I share my story? I want to sell my construction tech. It's every time I release one of these podcasts, I get all these people saying, sell mine because it's better and this is better. And then everyone says, they built this thing and they're looking for the problem to solve. My advice is join through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community and get open and honest. And that's what I'm going to challenge. We're going to do today with Adam of going through his demo and what they've built to date of talking through what is JetBuild and how does JetBuild solve problems in construction. And I'm going to challenge him a little bit on things that I've found from the overarching Art of Construction. And then Matt McMullen, who's a licensed architect in six states, focusing on system-built construction to intellectual properties or IDD, neuro, people that really need help. And we're so grateful for Matt to be one of those leaders. So we're going to tie this stuff together into those conversations. And that's really was the aha moment of all the pre-interviews of like our passions aligned, right? Of Adam with the veterans, Matt with a lifelong learner of putting people that really need a space of help and people that want to help them and Art of Construction, putting all that together. So with all that being said, Adam, let's start off by what is JetBuild as a platform? How did you that journey and what is it? And then we're going to unpack some of the components from within.
Absolutely. Yeah. So on a broad sweeping perspective, JetBuild is providing either the real estate developer or the general contractor or both an end-to-end solution to manage your project from pre-dev, pre-con, all the way to project closeout. So that'll include all of the core solution necessities that anyone would need for any ground-up construction, whether that be, from bidding and drawing management, scheduling and work breakdown structure, to RFIs, submittals, drawings, punch list, closeout, and then, of course, reporting that will, present information accordingly, wrap it all together.
So in your recent podcast, it was episode 38 in season one, you had Alicia Scoville, hopefully I'm pronouncing her last name right. She was just talking about growing up as a small girl or a young girl and just looking up in the sky and seeing people fly by. And she realized that she wanted to be in aviation. And so she ended up, I believe she said she was in the Air Force, but she worked at an Army base, which, there's that cross-pollination between the different military service organizations and populations. But she talked about what team means to military vets. Can you talk about how JetBuild is based on a team concept and how it functions in a team atmosphere?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great question and a great point. Back to the origin story was, we saw a lot of these platforms either solving pointed solutions or they were just difficult to use, generally speaking, especially for the non-admin holders, right? So whoever was holding the license, they're obviously going to be more familiar with the platform. They use it more, so on and so forth. So what we're doing with JetBuild is we say, okay, these core necessities on any project, whether it be, bids and budgets, whether it be schedules and drawings, RFIs and spill, these are just basics, right, that everyone's going to need. Why don't we go ahead and simplify how those functions work so that when you're onboarding external teams to your company, whether you're the developer, whether you're the GC, whether you're the CM, whoever it is that has project controls over the platform, when you're onboarding those external teams, how easy can we make it for them to address whatever they've been assigned to? And that's really the core of kind of how we've created JetBuild, which is to say, let's make it as easy as possible for every stakeholder to be involved in this project, because that's a necessity for a project to succeed.
So this is kind of the first place that we do some crossover between IDD, which is intellectual developmental disabled community. And just as a refresher for our audience, that includes autism. That's probably the largest component, Down syndrome, but also traumatic brain injury. And so what we've seen in the community is that a lot of the veterans, it'll go beyond PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, to where they've actually had incidents that have occurred when they were serving that led to traumatic brain injury. And so the question for you, Adam, is I think this is a key point if you can make this distinction. What is it that differentiates your software system and platforms from other contact folks? Like I just got another, contact through LinkedIn the other day, like Devin said, it just continues. But what sets your system and platform apart for veterans specifically who may have traumatic brain injury that makes it user friendly?
Yeah, great question. First of all, you know, what Jet's doing is the intention to be the core tech stack of a company, right? So you could imagine your smartphone, you can really do everything you need on a smartphone. Now, if you want more niche solutions, you're going to go to the app store and download whatever it is you want. So Jet's intention is to be that smartphone kind of a concept, is to say, we're your core tech stack. We're going to be very simple. We're going to cover everything that you need, and we're going to be very cost effective and hands-on in terms of onboarding and support. Now, taking that last point that I just made in terms of hands-on approach to support, onboarding, continuous training, feedback implementation, that's really where we can differentiate from other companies, where our onboarding team all has site experience and they all have an understanding, at least at a minimum basis, of what it means to implement feedback coding-wise, right? So that gives us, you know, especially if it is, you know, for someone who maybe needs a little bit extra hands-on, you know, training, support, questions, whatever it may be, that would give us an edge, you know, in either circumstance.
Awesome. So we've kind of talked about the who, and now let's get into a little bit about what are examples of the platform. You have one of the tools within JetBuild is called Sketch. And the question I have for you, Adam, is I'm going to be a little bit of this disruptor along this conversation. And then I'm asking you to kind of challenge back, and then Matt circle it back using these different tools as an architect to begin with the end in mind. So when I was looking at the Sketch tool, and we'll put links, you have a great demo of kind of the end to end, which grateful that you did that versus a lot of people will just give you a part and then you have the tech bros that need to buy it. And then you find out what about the whole and then you get stuck, right? And so my question to you with your Sketch tool, why would you use this versus plugins like Bluebeam? And you said, I want to be the cell phone with a app for that. Bluebeam has been one of them that's really known as that PDF writer, if you will, to kind of do something from within. Give us your take on that.
Yeah, you know, from my perspective, if you're going to show us an alternative platform, in this example, Bluebeam, and tell us, hey, can Jet do XYZ because it's an absolute necessity for me? If we can't do that, then you know what? By all means, I'll encourage you to use Bluebeam, and then I'll also figure out if we can't integrate if you need. That said, generally speaking, typically to what I see, and in this example, Bluebeam, well, if Jet can consolidate your external tools, whether it be Bluebeam, whether it be, you know, a lot of teams like to use Smartsheets or Monday.com for whatever reason, well, why not consolidate that in one platform so you have a more seamless interaction from data integrity and communications across teams, across projects, across your portfolio?
Totally agree. And this is where I step in and say, just because you can doesn't mean you necessarily should, right? I fight this data drop chasm in my company all the time because somebody falls in love with a shiny object that helps them do a takeoff this way that works in this person's head. And then they go out and they do it all in their head because it's easier for them. But if it doesn't tie back into the customer care wheel in the whole company, what are you really doing? You're actually creating more silos that you say are making faster silos. And that's the whole thing we're trying to figure out, is don't automate a shitty process just because of a shiny object, right? And so that's the part we're trying to figure out of, like, takeoffs of beginning with the end in mind is that big deal, right? We're trying to use AI and algorithms to help with fast tracking estimates. But if it doesn't go into the reporting and P&L and calendar and scheduling, what are we really doing here? And that's the part where I wanted to challenge that question. What's your take to that, Matt?
Yeah, I was just going to say, to your point, I started to think about open source. And I got to thinking about Chaos Inkscape. You know, and there's multiple, you know, those will be in the show notes, multiple ones that you can listen to. But that was the beauty of Inkscape, now Chaos, is that with my clients in the architectural community, I can take that and I can drop a Revit model into that bad boy. And even people who are not tech savvy can go in and walk around and walk through things. So I'm encouraged to hear Adam say that, you know what, hey, if you've got something that works really well for you and is agnostic and is open source and allows it to really serve your wider customer base, we'll look at integrating that and figuring out how to do that.
But here's where I'm going to be the disruptor again. If you have something you think you can work better, you better be somewhat of a tech bro to understand how to put that stuff together, because Adam's not going to know every plugin and make every you work with JetBuild. And that's the hard part of Matt, when you reference this mass consolidation of, you know, Moritz Luck, who's a buddy of mine who built Enscape as a great platform to sell to Chaos, where now they've bought 10 other real-time rendering tools, it becomes more fragmented in some ways, right? And so that's the disruptor part of this whole thing, to say, how do you put an end-to-end together, knowing every plugin has challenges? And that goes back to the podcast we just released with Runding, and we believe at Art of Construction, you better be able to have framework between Microsoft or Google, because we're not going to beat them on standard operating procedures when it comes to that stuff. So Runding just launched a platform called Open Build, using Microsoft tools to openly help your business and be a partner with that. And that's the stuff that we're trying to do with Art of Construction, is how do we take these different distractions of bridges going to nowhere and actually align them into different, not just islands, but sources of truth. So the next thing is, we always talk about beginning with the end in mind. Adam, talk to us about how do you begin with the end in mind at JetBuild, and what are some of the key items to properly kicking off a project from your point of view?
Yeah, so typically we like to start with, all right, you have a budget that you're going to be working from, you have a set of drawings, and you have a schedule, or at least a concept of a schedule, whether that be a pure Gantt up front or a work breakdown structure setup. Those are the key components that will also mirror with meeting minutes, which has task management as well. So that's like the kickoff, where you'll be able to start to understand front and end, and, you know, fill in between. And front and end, when I say that, I mean, right, you have a budget, so you have at least some structure of where you're starting and what the complete cost you want there to be, and whether it be a schedule or work breakdown structure, WBS model, where that will also, again, show you start and finish. So those are the kind of bookends that we like to start with clients.
So you mentioned pricing in your YouTube videos. So first, could you talk about how that pricing dynamic is based on the actual user? Is it size of company? Is it veteran, non-veteran? How is that structured?
Yeah, so this is it's a great question, because it's probably the biggest reason why Jet even exists, is pricing friction with incumbent products led to the creation of Jet. And the way that we structure it is kind of the opposite of industry model. So we always offer the complete product suite. So there's no cost plus, there's no siloing. You could pick and choose whatever you want from our modules, right, across your stack of Jet. It is always
going
to be unlimited.
You got
to
get them in the door and just kill them in app fees. What are you doing, man?
Exactly.
Come on, exactly. The tech bros, that's how it works. Just get them in the door and kill them with fees. Come on, man.
Exactly. So flat. So it's always going to be flat annual fee. It's going to be the complete product suite. It's always going to be unlimited users. So the core of our pricing model will be based on projects, and that scales very quickly and easily. So what I mean by that is, like, the average buckets that we see will be, you know, 1 to 4 projects, 5 to 8 projects, 10 to 13 or so. And kind of once you're in that 10 plus, 15 plus, then you just go on limited projects. So it's nuanced based on the builder, but it'll be project based up until, you know, you're just going to take an unlimited plan.
So second question that I have, and this is a personal thing for me, is like, so I wear a bunch of different hats. Now I'm a licensed architect, 6 states. I have a master's in real estate construction management, which is like an MBA in real estate development. So I do development. And I also have a real estate broker associate license in the state of Colorado. So the question becomes, you know, I have these varied interests and varied things that I do. How does JetBuild serve that in terms of the different professional designations I hold? But how do you integrate all members of the project team? So, you know, I'm just looking, if I'm a developer, or even just a builder, right? I got the architect, I got all the engineers, I have all the consultants, I have the GC, I have the subcontractors, and then I have the dreaded AHJs, the authorities having jurisdiction. And those guys, they work on their own timeline. You know, and if they're slammed, or, you know, like in the case of the city of Denver right now, lots of layoffs that are happening, and some of those hit community planning and development. So how do people get access to this platform so that you're taking just this load of information from all these different sources and bringing it together, so it's feeding into your critical path schedule and budget and all those things?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I'll start from the, I'll call it developer hat, because that's really before any other project team gets involved, right? You're creating your project planning upfront. So now let's say you're ready to engage with an architect. You get those set of drawings on board. So we can onboard those key stakeholders from each, stakeholder, each team. So that'd be architect, that'd be the GC, that could be larger subs. It really depends on how the client wants us to run it. It'll kind of be phased as the project progresses, right? So you get the architect initial set of plans. Maybe you have a CM early on that's going to help you bid out the GC. So we'll onboard that key stakeholder as well. They'll start to, you know, bid out the GCs, for example, depending on how, you know, granular they want to be or not to be. You can break out your budgets down to a, you know, SOV, to a trade level, to a material level if you wanted, or you could have one line item for a GC. So totally up to how you want to manage, you know, progress as you're going through pre-dev and pre-con. Again, like, we would support onboarding your key stakeholders from the GC team. And usually at that point is where, like, our support kind of breaks off, only because clients tend to have an understanding and capability of, you know, supporting the balance from there.
So here's where I want to implement the eliminating the muda or the waste from the project and having these light bulbs that just pop up for you and help if you really are going to build this end-to-end process, right? And I think about when, from the podcast, show 83, when Matt said, we got to eliminate the muda from the process, and I had to stop the recording and say, Matt, can you help me understand what this means? And if you're still like me, you could go back and listen to that podcast, because that was kind of the start of that we integrated into our business. And at the time, that Matt became the general manager for my window and door company. And we spent a year building out the customer care wheel, was what we settled on, what we called something. And really, it's that whole hamster wheel of knowing construction, you're only as good as your last project, but how do you eliminate the waste and have this wheel of this continuum of care, not the cradle to grave, if you will, right? And then everybody ticks differently. And I think about just like little things that how people think. I'm a big picture track guy. So when I see something, my mind has to look at this wheel and see these, how the wheel comes together in vision and traction from colors and handoffs, right? And that's where this whole podcast is about, moving that wheel to get everybody rowing in the same direction, right? And so I'm really big on kind of color codes from an overarching process, that what if these colors represent types of construction or segments from within or process from within. And that's what we've been mapping up through the Art of Construction facilitators through companies like my window and door company and Matt. So I'm curious, can you give some examples from that, Adam, where, you know, this is audio and we're going to work about following up in the Construction Technology Council together, but like where those colors and where things jump up and kind of say, hey, know your data with this process so that we can all follow this. What's your take to that, Adam?
Yeah, it's a great point. Just on a, you know, we're looking at a similar screen at our drawing tool. We try to be as flexible as possible so people could run processes how they want. So just on a literal color example, like, you have the ability to color code things however you'd like. And you also have the ability to hide or show across drawing revisions, you know, items that you've added, whether that be a sketch, whether that be an RFI, whether that be a punch item, comment, et cetera. That being said, I think, you know, just from my perspective in terms of how teams address this general topic in the best way is simply automating deliverable reminders, right? So it sounds very simple. However, if you're not all on the same platform, it's going to be siloed. It's going to be
scattered. Wait a second, Adam. I thought everybody just proactively just communicates and handles stuff in construction. There's no issues with requesting for information in a process around that, is there?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it doesn't. Yeah, the issue is only in my mind.
They just do it. They just communicate and it's all handled. So really that's the part of like, to me, that's the carrot and the stick, right? Like you're documenting the 20% that gets you the 80% of the results. And then you're building out these forms that are need to happen, but then you're allowing your partners to say, okay, here is, in my case, the MVWD way of doing business. We have to take and you have to meet those people, those businesses, and as Matt talked about, the municipalities where they are. And you got to figure out how to have that construct of there is no thing as one source of truth. You have the legal version, the system-built version, the manager version, the person who thinks they have to do everything in Bluebeam version. And you can go on and on and on, but you have to tie that back into something that you're moving the construction project forward through. And I do believe those recognitions of you have to meet the people. If you're a guy like me that loves color code and then understanding how that put into a structure, that Matt, I want to pass the baton to you to where when you came in and said, you know what, Devin, I am not passionate about windows and doors like you are. That's just the hard truth. But what I do need to know is take windows and doors out of it. How do I guide a customer through your window and door company? And how do you put that process together? I think we really get too geeked out of what our special powers are instead of meeting everybody where they are. Matt?
Yeah, I just got distracted a little bit because you were talking about colors and your favorite color is clear and mine is invisible. So I'm just trying to unpack that away. Yeah, no, I agree with you completely, man. It's it doesn't matter what you're selling because we're all selling something. Right. And it's about how do you take care of that customer? How do you take care of that client? How do you allow their deepest dream to come true, right? Like their passion, because there's a reason they came to you. They want a view. They want, you know, with windows and doors, they want a view. They want to walk out of something. They want to walk into something and they want to do it in a specific way that supports their lifestyle, passion, dreams. And so that's what you got to connect with. The product or service or whatever, that's variable. It's about reaching that client exactly where they are, and maybe not even where they are, but where they want to be.
100%. So at the end of the day, we have to be trusted advisors cutting through the emotion to get into the business part of there's so much emotion in what we do. And I would challenge to say, Adam, where you're coming from of working for the veterans or working for a process, the emotion of that in construction, there's a lot of stuff to where Matt's here to talk about PS, you know, the post-traumatic stress and IDD and how the people are helping with that and figuring out how to group that together. But at the end of the day, every one of these conversations I'm having around construction technology is the race to the data. And I think we all have struggled to understand what that means as this evolves to figure how, if we say now, okay, here's the customer journey, here's the no, we're going to understand to meet the people in the business and municipalities where they are, but how do we group and understand how to properly put that data and management that together? How does JetBuild handle that whole thing of the data to know? It's hard at, say, all these massive data centers, that's pretty wild, of the race to AI to build all these data centers to now just put more and more shitty data to someone that doesn't understand it.
Yeah, totally. I want to digress for a second. And Matt, I heard the architect in you, and I mean that in a great way. So that was really neat to hear you talk about the customer journey in that capacity. But Devin, now to answer your question in terms of data, I think before even addressing the technical perspective, it always kind of baffles me when owners don't care for the data that they are paying for and that they are managing. And what I mean by that is, you know, what happens a lot is, you know, disputes occur, whether it's during a project, whether it's when a project is completed, you know, some issue happens in an asset. So why is it that you don't want the data that you had anyways paid for to be able to address the issue faster, simpler, better, quicker? That's one perspective. Another is managing an asset long term. If you need to address something in that building, in that property, why not own the data as it was built in a way that your facility team can access it and then address whatever issue occurs, which is inevitable, right? So those are just two really like basic understandings of why data in a structured environment through a construction process is very important. Now, beyond that, in terms of looking at like a technical perspective as it relates to AI and such, what we've actually released very recently is a copilot. So its function is to be basically an assistant PM, and it really works that way. You just ask it basic questions versus, for example, searching through a submittal or an RFI and the comms for whatever, you know, occurred there. You just ask it basic questions and it'll answer you. So that kind of perspective is where we see there being great value in data, because you just leverage the AI system, the AI copilot, as an assistant moving forward.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that is incredibly helpful, because one thing I noticed, and I spent 6 years at the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research and the National Center for Atmospheric Research as their facilities director. And we talk a lot about big data, you know, in our data centers. And people are so overwhelmed now with data. You get bombarded with it, and some people are just checking out. And I think that's what, you know, AI is trying to respond to, Copilot and Gemini and all that stuff, is how do I increase my capacity for absorption so that I don't just check out, because I got to pay attention to this stuff. Otherwise, my business is going to fail because my competitors are paying attention to it.
100%. So as we work, a couple other questions I just want to kind of rapid fire out there before we work on into our always close out questions that we do on every podcast. You know, I've kind of been the joker of like communication and colors and getting people on the same page. But at the end of the day, aligning these changes that are inevitable in construction, I think that's what we're all trying to figure out. If you play this great game of construction, it's not if, it's when the change happens. How do we actually adopt and move this thing forward to still try to hit the inevitable budget that was set, right? So how does JetBuild manage aligning changes to the source of truth along the way and communicate those just from a big picture point of view? And then we'll put all the links in the show notes to get in touch with you all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we offer all of the key, you know, structured solutions that allow you to go through any changes, whether it be a PCO, CO process, you know, linking drawings, contracts to RFIs, submittals and specs, and vice versa. So we offer the structured solutions to run through any potential changes, schedules as well.
So one big picture question for you, where do you see JetBuild progressing in the future, given the exponential growth, dynamic growth in AI and LLMs, you know, large language models? That's kind of what I alluded to earlier.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really the evolution of what I had mentioned in regard to our copilot that we released. So it's to further strengthen its capability so that it will function similar to how people are used to using, you know, a ChatGPT or whatever AI tool they're using, which is pulling from, you know, massive of data on the internet. Well, we want to provide you a similar smart AI tool, which is pulling from an amassment of data of your portfolio. So you can understand potentially, okay, what asset is going to be least risky for me to build? Where are my properties best performing? Maybe as a GC, you can look at, okay, what trades were, you know, most productive for me? So just smart ways of leveraging data that will be as simple as just typing in a question within the Jet ecosystem.
But I think it's important as the evolution of 2.0 of Matt, you talked about the long tail in the internet at the beginning of this, of now we're trying to figure out, you know, internet 3.0 or 5.0, whatever person you're saying a point to, at the end of the day, of Adam, you're saying the word copilot, how do you articulate open search versus copilot? You're paying for your tribal knowledge if you want to pay for the license, which I use 50 times a day now of searching in our data, and the World Wide Web, which is Microsoft version of Copilot. Why did you name it Copilot?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's still its beta, so it's possible that we'll end up changing the name. I guess I just like the name. It sounded like it was good. You know, our company is JetBuild, so it kind of fits. just in terms
so,
of naming.
So there's no like big thing into that of just saying what you call stuff matters when it gets into people understanding it. You know, I was on a call with my team of saying, okay, how do we add all these licenses? Because who gets Copilot, Microsoft Copilot, and who is it worth paying $30 a month, yearly fee, times all this stuff? And this is the stuff that you got to be really careful about on these big platforms is you think everybody needs to use it, but then you don't have a training and a followed by all process to where they're really not utilizing those tools. And Matt, that's what we've been struggling with on Art of Construction. We bring in different tribal knowledge and you're paying for Revit this and Enscape that and Microsoft this, and then you need to dump into Google this, and then you need JetBuild that, and then you die and you're like, holy shit, I didn't pay attention to this and now I'm paying 10 grand a month in licensing fees. And then this turns into something like, then the owner, crusty owner, steps in and says, screw it, cut it all out. And I think we're in a spot where we've all dabbled in this stuff, but how do we make it our core processes? Matt, what's your take to seeing that evolution?
Yeah, it's like app overload, right? You know, so you have Rocket and you have Experian, and they go in and they, you know, cut your subscriptions off at the knees so that you're not doing that kind of thing. But yeah, I was just thinking like names, you know, and like Maverick or Ice, you know, Iceman, you know, from Top Gun. You know, you got to go some military thing, man.
Sure,
and make it groovy. But yeah, it is a closed network system of what you're talking about. It's really searching within your software and within that person's data set.
Which that is my part as we go into these final questions of the crystal ball. If I've got to meet, you know, hundreds of atoms around the world that have stepped into it in this really, really hard thing of building a construction platform, we commend you for doing this, Adam. But now understanding how do we get it to really add value through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. And quite frankly, it's your data and other data in a closed source has to start coming together to build trust, right? And that's the hard thing of this whole deal of who, when you search Copilot, what are you searching? And that's the part that we're all trying to understand. And that's my crystal ball. If you don't know what you're searching, you better figure that shit out or you're in trouble. So Adam, what is your crystal ball when it comes to the future with technology and construction?
Yeah, you know, our mission here is to say, let's go back to the basic. Let's simplify the core of what you're doing. Let's reduce your overhead with the core of what you're doing. Now, once we have actually established that, all of a sudden you should, in theory, added more data to the core of what you're doing, right? Because you've simplified and reduced cost. And now all of a sudden you have more spend, more budget to go to the app store and take these plugins for potentially site-specific needs like, you know, AI for safety or, you know, AI for concrete pouring or whatever it may be, efficiencies across specific niches. So in my opinion, I think all of the kind of noise per se that we see needs to come back to its origins, be simplified, costs need to be reduced in order to then progress forward again.
Love it. And the final question we always ask, Adam, it's an honor to have you on the Art of Construction, and we'll make sure we put links to the Veteran Show and JetBuild and all the cool stuff you're doing. What is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
You got to just try new things and keep moving forward. Double down on whatever works.
Love it. Matt, thanks for stepping up and being my co-host. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, just love Adam's passion and his cause and what he's focused on and the fact that he is flexible in listening to his clients' needs and really trying to dovetail that in, because you know how it is, man, there's like a barrier to adoption. And so if you've got somebody coming from the right place and they're willing to work with you, you'll make that time investment to jump in with them and figure out how it's going to help you.
Couldn't agree more. And I would challenge to say you should kind of question and have a barrier to adoption. Because if you just keep jumping into all these tools today, you're screwed. You better align yourself around people that get you and where you're going. Most importantly, your team and what jurisdictions you're playing baseball in. Because if you don't know what ball you're throwing and they're not going to allow you to hit it, you better figure out, because we want to hit home runs together. And that's what we do in the Master Facilitators community with all kinds of cool people like Adam and Matt that are all truly the MFers in construction, the master facilitators moving this thing forward. Adam, thank you so much for sharing your story. Crush it out there, tribe.